I got on my suit and tie today. How many of you remember every Easter as a kid growing up, some of you too, we got a new suit and everything, and ladies all got hats and dresses. Anybody remember all that? Yeah. Oh, well, you know what? This is a great day to remember, because it's when our freedom from sin came out of the grave so that we could be free. The resurrection. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 15. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. Your faith is useless. And we apostles all will be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But this can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And Christ, if Christ had not been raised, then our faith is useless and you're guilty of your sins. In that case, all who died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, and he was the first great harvest of all who died. This morning, I want to look at three things that I believe are overwhelming truths of the resurrection. The claim that Jesus rose bodily from the dead is the cornerstone of Christianity. It's the very heart of our faith. If it never happened, then Christianity is the greatest hoax that's ever been known to mankind. If it didn't happen, or if it did happen, let me put it that way, it is given that it is authentic. I can't say the word. Everything Jesus did and said and believed have guaranteed us eternal life. Now let me once again read from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:17. If Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are guilty of your sins. The resurrection is not a hoax. Amen. Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. In fact, the writer of Acts in Acts 1:3 says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. As I said in the beginning, I want to look at three things that I believe wholeheartedly prove that he rose from the dead. First of all, I believe the most one that is the most emphatic and the most important, the Bible teaches us that he actually died and that he was put in a tomb. And a very large stone was rolled there. Some commentators say it could have weighed up to 2 tons. Nobody knows. It was put at the entrance of the tomb. And we read in Matthew 27:66, so they sealed the tomb and posted a guard to protect it. Now that seal most likely was the Roman seal. Most likely the guards were Roman guards, were there to stand guard to make sure nobody stole the body. In spite of all of that, the stone, the soldiers, the seal, the tomb was empty when the ladies arrived there early in the morning and looked inside, and all they saw was burial clothes. You know, through the years, many people have tried to say that the resurrection never happened, but the one thing they can't refute is the empty tomb. Some say the disciples stole the body, but that seems a little far-fetched to me when you consider that those disciples at the trial and crucifixion, they ran and hid themselves, except John. John was the only one that went to the cross with him. Now, consider all of this. They had to deal with the soldiers. They had to roll away the stone. They had to get rid of the body and then come up with a fantastic story about his resurrection, an untrue story that they ended up giving their lives for. See, Christianity rises or falls on the empty tomb. Critics can't explain it. If Jesus did rise from the dead, then where's the body? Leaders of every other religion, you can go to their tomb and it's empty. I mean, it's not empty. They're still there. But Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. He arose on the third day. The tomb being empty is the greatest evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, several of you in the audience, along with myself, have been to Israel. How many of you have been there to the garden and then to the tomb, to the hill they think is Golgotha? And I went in that tomb and it's empty. There's nobody in there. But you go to Buddha, all of the others, you go to the Muhammad, you go to all of their tombs and it's still there. But Jesus is not. He's alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Now let's look at the second thing that I think that proves the resurrection. You know, the early Christians didn't believe Jesus had been raised from the dead just because there was an empty tomb. They believed it because they saw him. They talked to him. They looked at him with their own eyes. When they talked about Jesus, they didn't talk about, well, the tomb is empty. They talked about, we saw Jesus and we talked to him. Hello? That, to me, is a great outstanding proof that Jesus rose from the dead, because we have eyewitnesses that saw him on different occasions. Now, we already read Acts 1:3, but I want to read it again, NIV. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, he just didn't remain hidden. He went all around for 40 days talking to people and seeing people, giving undeniable proof that he was alive. He appeared, of course, to Mary there in the garden, tomb with the tomb. Then he walked through the closed doors and was in the middle of his disciples that were there wondering what was going to happen. In the evening, he was walking with two men on the road to Emmaus. Several people saw him more than on one occasion. Some were alone, some were with large groups. Sometimes it was night, sometimes it was day. But you know, I sort of like what the Apostle Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with the third verse. I'm going to read the NLT. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sin, just as the Scripture said. He was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures say. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Now, when you have a court case, what is the strongest evidence that can be given? An eyewitness account, right? Here, we see not only the disciples and those individuals, different ones, but we see over 500 individuals that can testify they had seen Christ Jesus and he was resurrected from the dead. You know, that to me is irrefutable evidence, because you have several hundred eyewitnesses to the account. They talked to him. Thomas even put his fingers in his hands. He did not stay in obscurity, but he was visible all around for 40 days. Look at what Peter said on the day of Pentecost when he was preaching on Acts 2:32. God raised Jesus to life, and we were all witnesses of that fact. Now, they had just come out of the upper room where they had received the Holy Spirit, and there was at least 120 of them. And he's preaching here, and he said, God has raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. There is at least 120 people that were witnesses of the fact. How much more evidence do you need than an eyewitness that had seen him, talked to him? Peter had talked with him personally. He had appeared to Peter. In another place it says he appeared to him. Now, it's interesting. Peter is preaching this message in the heart of Jerusalem, the very city where the trial took place, where the crucifixion took place, where the tomb was that was now empty. And the people he was preaching to knew this because the news had gone out everywhere. It was very, 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 very verifiable evidence. Now, Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 2:1-16. For we're not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majesty splendor with our own eyes. He wanted people to know, we're not making this story up. We saw him. We talked to him. He's alive. To me, the empty tomb, all of the witnesses for 40 days that saw him are compelling evidence that he arose from the dead. They're compelling evidence, that is compelling evidence of the resurrection. But let's go a step further. Let's look at one more thing. The changed lives. Those who had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus had their lives totally transformed. The resurrection is validated by the changed lives of his disciples and followers. Something happened to those disciples. After his death and burial, the Bible tells us they were gathered in a locked room filled with fear, not knowing what would happen to them. But let's read what John said that transformed them in John 20, 19. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace with you, be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw him. Now let's look at something here. Every one of these disciples were changed. Peter, the coward that denied Jesus three times at the trial, became a rock, one of the pillars of the early church. These ordinary men were transformed from frightened, weak individuals into one of the most effective missionary endeavors that the world has ever known, because they spread out all over the world, the known world at that time, proclaiming the gospel. Now, what motivated them? You might ask that question. To go out everywhere proclaiming the message, Christ died, but he rose again. Was it for money? No. Was it for power? No. Was it for fame? No. But every one of them turned from doubt to determination, from confusion to conviction, from fear to faith. They all died a martyr's death because of their belief in the resurrection. I don't believe you would die a martyr's death for a made-up story, for something that you weren't an eyewitness to. Not only did that resurrection impact the disciples with life-changing power, that same power that Jesus Christ has is transforming people today and will continue to transform until he comes again. As they told those disciples after those 40 days, They stood outside of the city of Jerusalem. As Jesus was caught away, that angel from heaven said, "This same Jesus that you see going away will come again in like manner." The combined testimony of changed lives is evidence that Christ is raised from the dead. It runs into the millions over the years. From every race, from every tribe, every language, every nationality in the world. Despite all the various intellectual and social backgrounds, believers are united in one conviction that Jesus is alive. Jesus changed my life, and many of you that sit here, maybe all of you that sit here, he has changed your life. And he's still changing lives today, that everyone will receive him as their Lord and Savior. That song said, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain." Is real today. Because after he died and rose from the dead, he ascended on high and put that blood there on the mercy seat in heaven. And that river is flowing today. That river of salvation is flowing today for all and everyone. Because, not because he died, but because he raised from the dead. And is alive and well in heaven today. If you're in this place today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to change your life forever, like the people in this room, like the disciples, like all of the ones that we mentioned, the witnesses. If you're here and you need Jesus to save your life, or you need to rededicate your life to God, I want you right now. Everybody stand, please. If you need Christ as your personal Savior, if you need to rededicate your life, I want you to step out in the aisle right now and walk right down here, and I'll meet you down in the front, and I'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. I'm waiting on you in the balcony. They will help you down. Ushers will down here. Come on. Anybody need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? I'm going to wait just a few minutes. I'm going to wait on you. This is your time to change your life forever. If you're ever going to change your life, today is the day to do it. This is the greatest day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see somebody coming down the aisle. Come on. Don't wait. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. Bless you, buddy.
God bless you, Pastor.
Hey. Anybody else want to join this young man? Right here, right now. It's your time. You can be changed forever, just like he did. Hallelujah. What's your name?
Benjamin.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you that you will receive every spiritual need in your life today. Salvation, rededication, whatever it is you need, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, man.
Oh, here comes some more right here. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Father, I thank you that she shall receive every spiritual need in her life met today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn and see Pastor Greg right there? Would you go to a special place of prayer with him and others there to be prayed? You'll be prayed with in depth, given some literature. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You'll be right back in just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God, thank God. That's what it's all about right there. That's it. Thank you, Jesus.